God on this beautiful September the, was it 22nd? 22nd Sunday morning. First of all, I want to praise the Lord for them blacktopping our road coming to the church. I got a blessing just driving up here.
Yeah.
Beautiful day the Lord's given us together in His house. And I just praise God. I'm just so glad that He not only got up from the grave, but He got up victorious over death and hell. And He said, I've got the keys. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, He's got the keys. I'm glad Satan don't have them no more.
That's right.
Because he never would set his captives free. And Jesus came to set the captive free. But we were in Proverbs chapter 5 last week, and I'm pretty sure we stopped at verse number 14. I want to read all the way down to verse 15, and then we'll start at verse 15. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Come on here, says Sharon.
Come on.
Lest thou, and these verses right here are important. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and that thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. I want to read all those verses before I read verse 15, which we stopped at verse 14 last time we had Sunday school. Solomon here, he's doing a really good job of bringing something to light here. And he's really talking about the subject matter of adultery. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's a pretty good one to talk about it, because in 1 Kings chapter 11, the Bible talked about he had many strange women. It said he loved many strange women. Let me turn over there real quick. One pager stuck here. Says, but King Solomon loved many strange women. And you read down the latter part of verse number 3, and they turned away his heart from the Lord. Now Solomon loved the Lord, and the Lord loved Solomon, but he's trying to give a warning here. And in this warning here, he talks about how it can happen. The lips of a strange woman. He says there in verse 3, they drop as a honeycomb. In other words, it's something that a man might desire is not necessarily something that a man needs.
Right.
And he talks about her mouth being smooth as she knows what to say, and we'll certainly get into that in verse number 7 about she knows what to say. But her end, you know, how it's going to end up, it's going to be bitter at the end. And her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. And on down through here, he talks about remove thy way far from her. In other words, he says, don't go there. This is a stern warning. Here's why. He said, you'll give your honor to others. You know, it takes a lifetime to earn testimony.
Yes, it does.
And it takes less than a second to lose one.
Uh-huh.
And you can never get it back. And he talks about giving your years to the cruel. You'll suffer. You'll reap what you sow there. and thou mourn at the last. You'll regret it all the way to the day you die. And when you do die, you'll say, I hated instruction. You'll realize you got no one to blame but yourself.
Right.
And my heart despised reproof. Nobody could warn you. Nobody could stop you. You just wouldn't listen. But verse 14 really spoke to me because he says, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. I've been going to church now for 31 years. And I can certainly confess, I've been several times the devil sat right beside me.
Mm-hmm.
Right there in the house of God. One time really stood out to me. I was having a little bit of a pity party. I don't know why I was having one. But I was having a pity party. I still remember, I was sitting there on the front row of Bethel Baptist Church. And the devil just kind of slid right over there to me as I'm sitting there in the house of God, in the assembly, in the congregation. And the devil, he just kind of whispered in my ear. He said, I'd leave if I was you. That's your. And when you're having a pity party and the devil shows up, the Bible says resist the devil. And a lot of people don't. But it says resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Right.
But it really spoke to me, verse 14. I was almost, in other words, either way, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. The Bible talks about a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways.
Right.
And a lot of people have a mind that even though they're in the house of God, it's in body only. Their mind is somewhere else. They're thinking about things that they shouldn't think about while they're in the house of God. And I try to make sure that's never true with old Brother Eddie. I try to keep my mind on the Word of God.
Amen, right.
I try to, you know, to stay plugged in or in tune, you know, to
right.
What's being said and everything. But in every individual, the devil wants to somehow interrupt what you're hearing, what you're doing in the house of God, and somehow get you to be like verse 14, almost make a decision to do something, even in the house of God. I could tell scenario after scenario of people that aren't even going to church today. I'll tell you where it started from. It started from the house of God.
Yeah.
The devil doesn't want you to come to church. He doesn't want you to hear the Word of God. He doesn't want you to sing the songs of God. He doesn't want you to worship the Lord in spirit and truth.
Right.
But I'll tell you right now, one of the biggest battlegrounds that people, I guess, don't even consider is the house of God. I ought to get a big old amen right there. But anyway, in this discourse on adultery, we're going to start verse 15. Solomon here, if anybody could elaborate on this adultery situation, Solomon could. I think I said a verse, 1 Kings chapter 11, I think he had 1,000 wives. Let me go back real quick. I want to be accurate here. But man, I'll tell you right now, I've been married to one for 44 years. I can't imagine having 1,000. But he had let's see here. Yeah, he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines,
yeah.
And his wives turned away his heart. 700 and 300, that's 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said he must have had a big farm, them concubines. But anyway, that's farmer's logic for you. Solomon here, if there ever was an expert or someone that you consider authority on adultery, he's giving advice right here starting in verse 15. He's done give the warning all the way down to verse 14. Verse 15, he says, drink waters out of thine own cistern,
yeah.
And running waters out of thine own well. Let's see here. Let's go ahead further here. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine. Let me see. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Solomon's giving advice here. He's saying, don't mess up what you already have by looking at something that you don't have and thinking that's what you need or what'll make you happy. And a lot of men fall in this category. But if you look over at Proverbs chapter 6, the very next chapter, look at verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Now look at verse 34 and 35. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Solomon's saying, once you do this, there's going to be a price, and it's going to be a terrible price.
Right.
I know a lot of men think, hey, nobody will ever know. That's a lie from a devil.
Yeah.
And a lot of men have been ensnared by the devil's lies. But once this husband finds out that another man has slept with his wife, he wants rest until he's killed that man.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about jealousy is as cruel as a grave. And the man that's been violated, I guess, in his marriage will hunt the man down that did it. And a lot of them have been shot, been killed, been stabbed,
right,
been run over by cars, been beat to death. I mean, you name it. But Solomon here, he says, don't do it. He said, drink waters out of thine own sister. You know, God never did promote adultery.
Mm-mm.
Right there hanging on the wall, thank God we've still got them. Those Ten Commandments, one of them says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, when a man disregards that commandment and decides he's going to commit adultery, I'm just going to say he's going to get his just reward. And Solomon here, he says, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. It interrupts the marriage of the man that made the terrible decision to sleep with another man's wife. All of a sudden now he can't enjoy his own wife, but he can't get the blessing of God upon his family no more.
Right.
His children are affected by it. That's what verse 16 is talking about. And the rivers of waters and the fountains be dispersed abroad. It interrupts all of the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. This just won't go away. The devil makes sure it's known abroad. And Solomon here, pretty bad warning here. He says, drink waters out of thine own cistern. Be content with such things as you have, Paul said. And a lot of people lack contentment. And I guess all of us have that problem to some degree. But verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed. You know, that's the will of God. God wants to bless everybody.
Right.
He wants to bless you, wants to bless me. But he noticed that first word, let thy fountains be blessed.
Right.
God wants to, and God will, but you can interrupt that blessing. He says, not only let thy fountain be blessed, he says, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. I don't know how in the world my wife put up with me these 44 years, but I'll tell you this, I'm thankful that she did.
Yeah.
I love my wife. Why do you love her, Brother Eddie? Well, we went through a lot together. She has her moments, I have mine. But you know what? We have a lot of respect for each other. I realize when she needs her time, I need to go back to the back burner, and she knows when I need my time, she says, I'm going down to buy something. She found out where I had my stash at. I caught her getting $100 bill out. I said, I want you to know, honey, that I ain't got no problem with that, but I would rather you just ask me instead of just get it. Well, I was going to tell you about it. Anyway, You know, her price is far above rubies. I'm still making payments on it, but I'll tell you right now, that's my wife. Mm-hmm. That means a lot. I don't have no quarrel with my wife unless she wants one, and I'll try to get out of it even then. She's on me right now about that bedroom with the granddaughter about painting it. And I've about run out of excuses. I can already see a painter getting hired, or a preacher getting the painting, one of the two.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want the blessing of God. It's not hard to get it. It's not hard to get the blessing of God. All God wants man to do is remember that God loves him. God's will towards him is good. God has a wife for every man. And God has a man for every woman to be her husband. And he wants that union to be blessed. Malachi talks about God hates putting away. And he don't. And I know people look for any excuse at all. I don't know about y'all, but as a preacher, I've heard everything about she does this, he does this.
Yeah.
Hey, that's just part of life. Learn to live with it.
That's right.
In every case, I can truly say this, that the good outweighs the bad. And yet they'll dwell on this one little pet peeve.
Right.
It just gets at me. It irritates me that he does this. I say, get over it. I mean, hey, you took for better. I've done a lot of weddings. And the wedding vow is for better or worse.
Right.
Good times, bad times, sickness, health,
right.
Rich, poor. Till death do you part, my wife said, don't tempt me, I'll kill you. But anyway, that's the only way we'll ever be parted is by death. I'll be married to Dottie Wade till there's no more breath in this body unless she does kill me. And if she does, I'll come back and haunt her. No, I'm going on to heaven. She can have it all.
That's right.
But God here, he says, let thy fountain be blessed. I think every home could be blessed if they would only allow it.
Yes.
Now, I've done a lot of counseling. And in every counseling that I've ever done, it's amazing how simple a resolve it is. I mean, they strain gnats to swallow camels.
Yeah.
I won't even do a wedding without counseling people because I want to at least know what a marriage is. A lot of people just want to get married. They don't even think about the commitment.
No.
They don't even think about the encounters, you know, the problems, the finances, the health. I remember hearing about this one woman. She married this guy. And she said, I never got used to the fact that he never did leave. I was expecting him to go home. And she said, every morning I woke up, there he was. And I'm sitting there thinking, what's he doing still here? But you know what? That's one thing about a marriage. It's a lifetime commitment. You make a decision to spend the rest of your lives together. And she had never really considered that this wasn't going to be a short thing. This is going to be a long thing. She said, it took me forever to realize he wasn't going nowhere. And that was her comments about her marriage. But there'll be times in the marriage you'll be glad to have that person there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't think about that. But most people just think about today. They just want to live for today. They want to somehow go an easy way. It might not be an easy way. But the Bible does tell us that if it gets hard, that two are better than one. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. So you put the Lord in there, boy, and you got three pulling together. But it goes also to say, woe unto him that's alone when he falleth, for he have not another to help him up. And a lot of people are in that category. God says, let thy fountain be blessed. I like that. And rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Mm-hmm. You know, I still stand amazed that God can find a woman that could put up with me. That wouldn't leave. That was willing to stay. Willing to endure the hardships, the disappointments, some of the grief. Boy. Bible says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and attaineth the favor of the Lord. God wants to bless the marriage union, and he will bless the marriage union. Verse 19, again, speaking about the blessing of the marriage. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant roll. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. There ought to be love in a marriage.
That's right.
The right kind of love.
Right.
Now, I'm preaching today the last message on that three-part series on mental illness. Started out with sexual mental illness. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's there's just no end to how perverted man's mind will go when it comes to that four-letter word called love.
Yeah.
They say as long as you love someone, it'll be all right. I don't know why God be against that. God said the order of love. Mm-hmm. He said, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife,
right,
and they twain shall be one. That's the order of love.
Amen.
The order of marriage.
Yes.
But they're having some kind of gay festival at Somerset, October the 5th. It's called Chill Out.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Festival. Taylor Swift, I had quite a bit of respect for her. I thought she kind of kept herself clean from politics.
Yeah.
And this kind of perversion. But she's wrote a song and kind of let the cat out of the bag. Name of the song's called Get Over It. And, you know, we don't need to get over it. We need to resist it. We need to be steadfast against it. We need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort in circumstances like this. And there's no getting over it. I mean, wrong's wrong, right's right. And there's no in between. Darkness and light never make gray. They're opposites. They're oxycon. What do you call it? Oxymorons. They don't go together.
Right.
They're direct opposites. But God here mentions in this verse, be satisfied always with her love. The first not good mentioned in the Bible, and we do need Bible today. Boy, if we ever needed Bible, we need Bible today. I've never seen so much confusion all my life.
Right.
But the first not good is mentioned in Genesis chapter 2, and God's one mentions it. And God Himself says this about man in Genesis 2 verse 18. The Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help met for him. God had a woman in mind for man before there ever was a woman. And God says to man, be ravished always with her.
Yeah.
Verse 20, why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Now, a lot of things have changed since Solomon penned these words. I know the Lord gave it. I know the Bible said in Psalm 68, verse 11, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God.
Right.
I know the Word's always had the preeminence over everything. Let me say this about a strange woman. I told this a while back about a businessman going to a big meeting in a big city. Mm-hmm. Thought he'd have a little fling. Went and got him a woman, spent the night with her, and got up the next morning and wrote on the mirror in a red lipstick. It said, welcome to the wild, wonderful world of AIDS. Mm-hmm. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot's changed. Police scared death about that subject matter. They wear rubber gloves now. Why will thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? It sounds like it would be a convenient enjoyable, and yet it could be deadly.
That's right.
Why will thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? The Bible talks about, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Hold on just a minute here. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes be not burned? In other words, there'll be a scar. There'll be some hurt. There'll be some problems if you take a strange woman into your arms, embrace the bosom of a stranger. The sweet psalmist David, he made a terrible mistake. At a time when kings were to go out to battle, he said he'd stay home. And as he's staying home and up walking up on the roof of the top of the castle, he looks down upon the city of David, and there's a woman bathing herself, and it calls her Bathsheba. And I'm going to say she's pretty beautiful, look upon.
Yeah.
I'm sure the devil will come out up along, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm sure the devil will come up alongside David and said, "Aren't you the king? You can have her if you wanted her." And you know what? It does sound like that he could, but not without a cause. And David did do the unthinkable. The man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, looked upon a woman, lusted after her, had her brought to him, slept with her. She sent word back to him, "I'm with child." And the first thing the king, like any man, decided, "I'll find some way to hide this."
Cover it up.
So he had her husband, Uriah the Hittite, brought in from the battle. But David brought him to the king's table. Not only did he get him good and drunk, fed him good, he said, "Go spend the night with your wife." And Uriah had more integrity than David, and he wouldn't do it. He said, "How can I do this when my brethren are out on the battlefield? Can I enjoy my wife while they're out there battling the enemies of Israel?" David again tried the same thing, and Uriah still wouldn't go to sleep with his wife, and David sent him back to Joab with a letter, put Uriah in the front of the battle, and withdraw from him, which meant sure death. And that happened, and Joab sent word back how many people was killed in the battle, and he said, "Oh, by the way, and Uriah the Hittite's dead." He knew that'd take care of all the loss of life. David thought, "I got this thing concealed pretty good." The Bible said God sent a prophet named Nathan to David. And Nathan told David a little parable. The little parable, which I'm trying to be brief here, the little parable was pretty much summing up what David had done about a rich man having all kind of sheep, and a little poor man had one little ewe lamb, and it was like a daughter to him, and he nursed it, loved it. And the rich man had a guest come, and the rich man took the poor man's little ewe lamb and killed it and served it up to his had a visitor, served it up to his visitor there. And David got big and mad, and he said, "The man that's done this thing shall surely die, and he'll restore fourfold." And Nathan said, "You're the man."
Yeah.
All of a sudden then David realized he hadn't concealed this thing as good as he thought he did. And David's no better than anybody else. No one can conceal sin. The Bible says in Numbers 32:23, it says, "Be sure of this, your sin will find you out."
Amen.
Well, David here, just like you and me, even though he's the king, I mean, he's the king of Israel. He's the choice of God for king. Saul was the people's choice for king, but David was God's choice for king of Israel, and even God's choice for king of Israel done the unthinkable. I just want you to know, men are men of like passion. But the price, verse 20, "Why wilt thou, my son?" You need to count the cost. Make sure. Because I'll tell you what, if you do, here's what you'll say every time: it's not worth it. I remember Johnny Campbell, Johnny the Baptist. One night he's up there preaching, and he's preaching down along the lines of counting the cost. And he was preaching that night on a nail in a sure place. And he took out this big long list of photos. Had Johnny, had his wife, had their children, grandkids, great-grandkids, all right there. And they hung on a nail. And he said, "Here's what happens when you do the unthinkable. We pull that nail out and they all fail." He said, "The consequences, the cost of doing something
right
that you know is not right," he said, "it'll cost you more than you're willing to pay." And That's kind of what this verse, why will thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? Why would someone do this? I'll tell you why they will. Because the devil says, who's going to know?
Yeah. Who's going to find out?
Yeah. The next verse will answer that. But
yeah.
The devil says, you can have this. God says you can't, but the devil says you can. The Bible said men are lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Men love darkness rather than light. Deeds are evil. Neither come they to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. But in all cases, man has a weakness, and his weakness is his flesh. The spirit's always willing, but the flesh is weak. And that weakness, the devil knows it, and the devil always attacks man in the flesh.
Yeah.
He never comes to man in the spirit, because the spirit that God gives man, I believe, is able to resist the devil. But that flesh, that weakness of that flesh, will cause a man to consider taking a strange woman into his bosom. And the commentary is a sad one. Lots of times, a lot of loss of life. Lots of times, a man, he's either dead, incarcerated, lost everything he had. I remember I preached at a nursing home one time, and I had no idea this man was even there. And I was preaching out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, I believe it is. It's either 7 or verse 8. That verse says, casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for thee. And I was talking about how much Jesus cares. I said, oh brother Eddie cares, but I can't care like Jesus does. I said, you might call old brother Eddie, more since Carolyn. And old brother Eddie might be already overextended. I might not be able to come. Or I might have problems bigger than your problem. But I said, you call Jesus, no matter what, he'll come.
Yeah.
He cares. He truly cares. But anyway, after I got done preaching that message and went outside, a businessman come out of the nursing home and run to me, and he really was overwhelmed, and I held him up for a little while, and he looked up at me, tears in his eyes. He said, preacher, you don't know how much I needed that message. He said, my wife left me, took my home, my kids, everything that I'd worked for in life, and he said, my mother's in that nursing home. I come up here to kiss my mother and tell her I loved her and I was going to go home and take my life. But God was able to comfort this man. He said, thanks for that message. He said, I can go on now. But I want you to know, the devil will try to bring a lot of people down. But if a man wants to take a strange woman into his bosom, look at verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his going. Now we've got an accuser. Not only will he accuse us before God, but he'll also deceive us. And he is the deceiver. But he'll get a man tangled up with a woman, and then he'll go over to God and say, didn't you say that man was saved? Didn't you say that man loved his wife? Look down there now. But the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all of his goings. Verse 22, his own iniquities, that's another word for sin, shall take the wicked himself. He shall be holden with the cords of his sins. It's like a trap. Once the devil baits the trap, he makes sure you don't get out. I always think about that word internet. It's ensnared a lot of people.
Yeah.
Just think about the word. I used to dip mirrors, go down the creek with a mirror net, you know, and
yeah. You'd
get them in that net, pick them up, put them in the bucket, and go fish with them. I think about that word internet.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been ensnared by the internet, not able to handle, and really shouldn't see what things come across the internet, yet they'll pop up. I wonder how many times, and I'm on the internet a lot, man, when he blinds. I don't know how many times I've been on there, it'll be a pop-up.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing that they'll do you that way. And the devil, I believe, he's the prince of the power of the air. I believe he has a lot of advantage through the internet.
Yeah.
And, well, I don't know who can handle that. I'll tell you right now, buddy, we're at a disadvantage, apart from the fact that the Lord, He's greater than all, but His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Samson got to flirting around with sin, and they'd bind Samson, and he'd just break them, and they'd do something else to him, and he'd just break it. But I want you to know there came a day when Samson found out he wasn't bigger than sin, and he got a haircut in the devil's barber shop, and he became weak as other men, and I want you to know it finally caught up with him. So no matter how strong you are,
that's right.
No matter how smart you are, I've met a lot of men that they think they're above other men. Well, that was you. That never happened to me. I don't know how many times I've heard that, but that won't ever happen to me. Bible said, "He that standeth, take heed, lest he fall."
Yeah.
See you up one day, and then you're down the next. Yeah. You don't even see it coming. It kind of blindsides you. But God ponders the way of men. And, he tries to help us. All of us are weak. We won't admit it, but we are. Mm-hmm. But his own sin shall take him. And he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. One thing about sin, it's like the coils of a serpent. It'll wrap you up and squeeze all the life out of you.
Right.
And a lot of men have been taken by sin. We just had a man got caught, Jeffrey Epstein, is that right? Now, word, I don't know how true this is, so don't etch this in stone, but word is kind of out that Bill Clinton had him killed. That's the word on the street, I guess you'd say, that he didn't commit suicide, but that ex-president Bill Clinton had Jeffrey Epstein killed. I just know this, he's dead.
Yeah.
And, you can tell by some of the things coming out. One reason why Bill Clinton was wanted killed because that picture he had of him, I guess, and that blue dress with them red shoes on. I mean, I'll just tell you right now, buddy, that'd about make me want to kill somebody if they had a picture of me in a dress. But I'll tell you right now, they'd have to lie. I'm never going to put one on. I see little girls in dress. I say, honey, you look nice. Yeah. Well, you look real good. And I'm pro-dress for women, but not for men. I see a man in a dress, I have to admit, I have to use some restraint there. But that drag queen stuff that's taking part up there in the Somerset, October the 10th, there'll be a lot of that. There'll be men in women's apparel.
Oh, sure.
And they'll have lipstick and eye makeup on, and it'll be in-your-face kind of insulting. It's one thing to insult, but this is kind of rubbing in your face like there's nothing you can do because the law's on our side. Well, we need to change the law.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what they've done is they've used the law to their advantage. Kim Davis that would not issue a marriage license for a same-sex couple, they're trying to sue her now that she's not in office. You know, they wasn't even from Kentucky. I think they came from California all the way to Kentucky. What for? It caused trouble.
Right.
And Brother Jerry, they think the law's in their favor. So that binding, you know, I'm a law-abiding. I talked to that policeman yesterday. I said, "Mister, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I want to always be a law-abiding citizen." They always talk about the long arm of the law. Well, verse 22, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Verse 23, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray.
Yeah.
You know, no one goes astray on their own. The devil has to help you, and he will. He'll make sure you mess up. He'll make sure that you sin. He'll make sure that you do unthinkable things. But I just want you this. Know this. The Lord is ready to pardon. He will pardon. He will abundantly pardon. He told Peter. Peter said, Lord, how oft should I forgive my brother if he trespassed against me 7 times? Jesus said, I say not unto thee 7 times, but 70 times 7 in one day. 490 times. Tell your brother, I forgive you.
Yeah.
For the Lord is more abundant than even that. He will abundantly pardon us. He knows our problem.
Yeah.
We've got a devil down here.
Right.
We're at the weakness of this flesh. And the devil and the weakness of this flesh is the worst combination ever. And we fall prey to that flesh and to that devil. Solomon here giving this stern warning. And this stern warning is about adultery. And I'll be honest with you, buddy, I've met a lot of them. I work with a guy right now. I told him, I said, if there's any way at all you can salvage your marriage, I'd certainly pursue that. But he told me, he said, Eddie, we couldn't salvage it, and we're getting divorced. Sounds like it's over, don't it?
Yeah.
Never goes away. I remember my dad left my mom for another woman. He fell right into what we're teaching about today. It interrupted the family reunions. Couldn't happen no more. Made everybody awkward. We couldn't even talk no more like we did before.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Dad's, as he was dying, Karen, I remember him saying, I made a mistake. He said, I was a fool. Well, that's what Solomon's trying to say here.
Right.
He say, man, if you do this, you're a fool. And he, the last verse, he said, he shall die. You'll die one day a fool.
Yeah.
And he'll say, I had things I took for granted. And I just let it slip right through my fingers. You know, I looked at the grass on the other side of the fence, and I saw it was greener. Didn't nobody tell me it was a septic tank underneath it. Fell right into it. Been stinking ever since. Oh, I'll tell you.
That's right.
One of the best parts of this chapter Romans 15:18. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, let thy fountain be blessed. Don't stray. Stay faithful.
Right.
The reward's worth it. You'll either hear well done at the end of life journey, we're all going to come to Him one day. Like a yo-yo.
Yep.
We're going to come to Him one day. You're going to either hear well done, or you're going to hear you've been a fool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I am saved. I'd rather hear the words well done.
Right.
And Paul said, we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But that other part that he mentioned always kind of caused me to think. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, he said, we persuade men. I don't know what kind of judgment's going to be before people that didn't honor the Word of God, that didn't honor the commandments of the Lord, that Saturday's bigger than God, or they didn't have to listen to God, and you know, they put both fingers in their ears and stuck their tongue out and said, hey, I did it my way. I don't know how it's going to be. I know the Bible said some are going to be saved by fire. Paul talked about a man that committed fornication with his father's wife, and he talked about delivering such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul might be saved by fire. I don't sound good, I can tell you that. I don't know how to elaborate on that. I will tell you this, there will be a judgment.
Right.
And God's no respecter of persons. Every one of us will give an account one day of just how we did. Well, at prayer meeting last night, Brother David was commenting on his son in college, Tyler. He said some of this stuff's just too hard for him. Well, let me say this about that. We're all still in the classroom. We haven't none of us graduated yet.
Right.
One day we will,
yeah.
And the report card will say, well, you done real good right here. Didn't do too good right here. how he fell this. But down at the bottom it'll say, saved by grace.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. That's right.
Thank God for grace. I never did ever make very good grades in school. Most time I passed carrying this college teacher, they won't see me again another year. I'm sending him home. Couldn't take another year of it.
Yeah.
I'm glad, praise God, Brother Jerry, down the bottom of my grade card is going to say, saved by grace.
Amen. Thank you.
Covered by the blood. Amen. We'll stop right there. Hallelujah.